Hello, I'm Richard from Play It Green. Today, we're really excited to support the Hospitality Playbook podcast. Play It Green provides a unique sustainability initiative that is free to hospitality operators, where you simply add a removable £1 to each bill. For that pound, we'll plant not one, but two trees and give 10p back to a charity of your choice. And in return, we'll educate your whole team on sustainability and provide you with guidance, resources, and a network of sustainable hospitality solutions and services. We'll help you build robust ESG credentials. The result is increased consumer loyalty. Ready to embark on this journey towards climate-positive hospitality? Click the link in the show notes to find out more.
I've got Mason. Thank you so much for being here, mate.
Thank you. Nice to finally be on. Third time lucky.
Yeah, well, we've tried a couple of times to do this, haven't we? And for one reason or another, it's fell through. So nice to be here, mate. So we're going to be talking about tips. I think a lot of people will have a lot of questions about tips. And we might get you on to answer some of those questions again, actually, in the future. But this is a bit of an intro into transparency, which is obviously a big important factor. Just before we get into it, can you just give us like a minute or two on who you are, what your business is, and I guess why tips in general is important for you?
Yeah, sure. So I'm Mason. I'm one of the co-founders at Grateful. And we essentially started the business out of a love for service and also a frustration of service as well. Now, I know those juxtapose one another, but we had been over in America and we'd seen how the service had, sort of been transformed with tipping culture. We also appreciate that tipping is a massive part of people's lives in hospitality and in the service industry. We then come back to the UK and I was sat in a restaurant in my hometown in Harrogate. There'd been a lady that had been serving us who was absolutely fantastic. And I essentially wanted to make sure that all of the tip went to that person directly. I didn't have any cash. And then the idea of a cashless tipping platform came about and it then essentially developed into a trunk system, which again, I'll go into a little bit more detail about after that. And ultimately to answer the latter part of why tips are so important, I think in all aspects of life, money talks, but especially if you've got a direct earning potential based on your performance or based on a customer satisfaction or service that you're giving, that then goes a hell of a long way to rewarding team members, allowing customers to show gratitude, customers being grateful, which is ultimately where the name of the company's come from. So yeah, customers are grateful, businesses are grateful for customers, teams are grateful for tips. So, you know, it's all encompassing, it's cyclical in its meaning.
Superb. Brilliant. So let's qualify the problem a little bit. It's probably not one we need to spend too much time on highlighting as an issue, but what is the problem? Two part, I guess. What is the problem with a lack of transparency and what happens if you have got a lack of transparency with tips?
I mean, it's such a broad topic. I mean, we'd probably be sat here all day talking about the wider piece of transparency as a whole. But I think the problem and what's been caused is now more than ever, tech is so prominent in people's lives. And it's also got a big part in playing how people perceive things that are coming through from a financial perspective. The issue that it's causing really is, especially in hospitality, it causes, I think, indirectly or directly, a lack of motivation, a lack of engagement. Retention is a massive topic. Retaining great talent in hospitality is a big talking point at the moment. And I think that ultimately is a byproduct of lack of transparency in people's trust. I think that's the most important thing when you're working in a business. You want to make sure that you trust your employees, you trust your boss. And having that clear line of communication, having that openness and transparency, I think is paramount to having a good working relationship. You know, in all aspects of life, but particularly in hospitality.
So it's kind of, it can be a root cause for some other issues. So like if you've got like high employee churn or disgruntled employees, or perhaps you've got low productivity, for example, performance, this could be one of the reasons, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah, because if you don't have any transparency, you know, we'll talk about tips, for example, you know, it's topical. You put the effort in if you know you're going to get rewarded, and the lack of motivation could potentially come from the fact that there is no transparency. They don't know where the tips are going, for example. Then that means that they're not going to be motivated to show up and provide great service for customers, which then, as you can appreciate, has loads of knock-on effects further down the line for the industry as a whole, really. And that is sort of motivation at a top level, but also motivation to come into the industry as well. And I know that's a really hot topic at the moment about retaining great talent and making sure that they stay in the industry as well.
Yeah, superb. Okay, so we're totally bought in. Listeners with us now. So we've got three tips, haven't we, for improving transparency. And I guess we've probably got an eye on the incoming legislation, which I think is next year, I think, if I'm wrong.
Well, it was due to be April. It's 1st of July now.
Is it? Oh, sorry, we're in 2024, aren't we, yeah. This year? Yeah. So let's run through these three tips then with an eye on that then. So what's the first one that you bring into the table?
I think communication as a whole, I mean, I touched upon it briefly just a moment ago, but communication is the main aspect, and that is, again, encompassing as part of transparency. Making sure that there is clear comms going out to team members about their expectation at work, their expectation of what they can earn, their expectation of what they're going to get out from what they're putting in. But it's two ways. So it's making sure that you are communicating to your team, but you're then also going to listen to what they're asking, listen to what they're saying, and essentially creating a culture without going down a rabbit hole of culture, creating a culture whereby individuals can raise questions and make sure that they can feel heard in the workplace. I think that's a big aspect as far as transparency goes. I mean, it'd be good to know what your thoughts are on that particular piece of communication.
Yeah. Well, absolutely. I mean, I think in all aspects of management, isn't it? It's important to let people know where they stand. So even if you're thinking on how well somebody performs at any given task, for example, it's always I always find anyway that it's beneficial to let somebody know quite candidly where they are in the process. Mm. You know, how competent are they? Can they work independently at doing that particular task, etc. But when it comes to team, I guess rewards, you would call, well, I guess tips not a reward, but I guess it kind of falls.
I guess it is and it isn't really, isn't it? The tip is.
Depends how you set it up, I guess, isn't it?
Service, you know, it's a tip, or whether you're looking at a tip or service charge, it's a tip at the end of the day. And that, you know, delving deeper into the psychology, it's a reward for good service to someone who's, it's a trade-off, really.
Hmm. Yeah, true. So, again, well, yeah, you're absolutely right. So it's a reward from the customer, isn't it? Essentially.
Yeah. It's them being grateful.
I'd never ever thought about it really like that before. But you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's. I mean, tips as a whole, it's just such an emotive topic, and making sure that there is good transparency around that piece can go a hell of a long way. Not just to the motivation to the team, but just to the wider business as well.
Mm. So I have to admit, I'm not fully read up on the new legislation yet then, so I will ask you as we go through these what, if any, the legislation says about this. So what does it say about communication?
It talks about how there needs to be like a written trunk policy. All the individuals need to know exactly how things are going to operate moving forward, so creating an agreement whereby the individuals have the knowledge on, let's say, the overall site takings for the venue that they're working in. That needs to be communicated to them. It's now their right to be able to know that information. The policy that I talked about, for example, on communication, that needs to be held either electronically or written down. That is, again, a requirement as part of the updated code of practice, and that came out midway through December. So a lot of people were waiting on that to make a decision and deciding on what was happening. Now, that is still under consultation, that process, up until February. There's a couple of still, you know, questions that need answering on that piece. But around communication, it's really to make sure that the employees have got the understanding of what the overall site is taking. They now have the right to be able to know that. And the written trunk policy, really, if they are operating a trunk, to know what that is that they can then refer back to. You know, when they're getting their earnings at the end of the week, at the end of the month, they've almost got, I won't call it a Bible, but something to work off as the business progresses, really, just to make sure that there is that level of fairness, because ultimately that's why the legislation's come into place.
Yeah, 100%. So I guess we've kind of moved into the second point of yours, which was documentation a little bit, haven't we?
Yes, yeah. So again, without labouring on the point, but making sure that there is clear documentation with the employees, again, both ways, make sure that there's no ambiguity for the team members. And again, that has a number of knock-on effects. Everyone knows exactly where they stand and they know this level of output, I'm going to get this back. So they're not going to, you know, put in a massive shift and then still not know where they stand with regards to their variable earning potential. Because again, that has got, you know, detrimental effects if it's not tracked correctly. I guess documentation and communication are fairly similar, but they're also very different. You know, communication is traditionally more verbal. Documentation is written. I think both, you know, put together can help with that overall transparency piece and can go a long way for employee, I guess, well-being and happiness.
I think the thing for me that kind of stands out is that communication and documentation are kind of, well, go well together when they're performed well. Mm. But if you know, you can imagine a lot of businesses would be, I guess, compliant with documentation legislation, but then fall down with the communication for whatever reason, you know. It's easy to get them right if you're doing them well together.
Yeah,
I think you can't really take them in silo for me. I think you've got to have a well-documented policy. And if you've got a well-documented policy, it should be pretty natural to communicate that with the team.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, how often and what are the best ways to actually communicate this? I know we're going to come on to technologies afterwards as your third point. But how often should this be communicated?
I mean, I guess there's two ways of looking at it. I think when I talked about earlier about that two-way level of communication, making sure that it's not just, you know, a top-down approach saying this is the information, this is all the information, that's important, but, you know, making sure that they can have that bottom-up communication as well. And, you know, you'll know better than anyone from the field that you're in, having that on an ad hoc basis, having an open-door policy, I think doesn't then pave way for a rigid communication structure. So I think having that in place, but also then from a top-down approach, similarly, having something that's just regular, that's not too robust and structured, you know, hospitality is fairly fluid and loads of different aspects. And I guess, yeah, going back to that open door policy, making sure that there is the ability for people to just communicate with all different levels of hierarchy within the business, I think, you know, bodes well to that good level of communication.
Mm. And obviously there'll be certain parts of your process which you'll communicate more regularly. So for example, the amount of tips will be communicated regularly, but maybe changes to the policy which happen less frequently would obviously be communicated less frequently, but in a different way as well. So like, you know, tips could be automated, perhaps, you know, you've got systems by text or, you know, whatever it might be. Whereas if you're changing policies, maybe you want to get people in, you might want to sign it off, this type of thing. So I think it's important for people and listeners to think about the delivery that they're actually using to actually deliver different messages. I think some of the more frequent messages, such as tips, etc., tip values, might be a bit less informal. Yeah. But some of the changes to policies would obviously need to be a more formal process.
Of course, and I guess, you know, company-wide things like you said, policies, you know, that there's certain things that probably need to be communicated to in person who, I guess, elements that involve everyone in the business that are more formal and will potentially have a bigger impact further down the line, making sure that there is that face-to-face communication. I think COVID's played a contributor. People are now more than ever further away than they have been, even though they're more connected, making sure that you are having that level of human interaction and personal connection. But also then, you know, the last point I talk about, which we'll go on to in a second, is tech. And keeping that open line of communication by using tech and making it easier and not using the excuse of the fact that, you know, you've got a team up in Scotland and a team down in London that you can't communicate effectively. Because little things, little and often, can make people aware of what's going on in the company, make people aware of what their earnings are, where they stand, which is information that's a little bit more informal and easy to communicate via tech. But yeah, like you said, you know, written policies, bigger company-wide updates should, I think, personally be done in person.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get on to that then. So I know you're slightly biased when it comes to the to the tech conversation. You might have a preferred solution, maybe. But can we just try and like cater to the maybe all of the listeners? You know, there might, we'll have some listeners who are not maybe using any tech at the moment. Mm-hmm. We'll have some listeners who are, and that maybe they're wondering, well, what tech do I have to adopt, or what should I adopt? And then we might have some listeners who are maybe, you know, they're ready to adopt some tech. Can you just lay it all out for us? What do people have to use, if any? And then, you know, what are the best places to shop and consider different options?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many options out there for tech stack, and not just talking about transparency and tipping, but talking about transparency in general across the whole hospitality space. There's loads and loads of really, really good providers out there, and the tech stack will vary depending on the business. You know, our approach is very much that every hospitality business is different, and as such, we need to then cater to that. I mean, where they can look is through partner schemes. I mean, we're on a platform called Tech on Toast. You know, shout out Chris. And he and, you know, loads of other companies do a very good job out there about, I guess, demystifying how tech can integrate with one another and what the benefit is to a business owner, and ultimately what value that they can add. You know, when we're going and speaking to a business for the first time, 9 times out of 10, it's more of an educational piece to say, this is actually what we can do. Did you know about that? Rather than, this is what we're going to sell you, kind of thing. And most businesses, most well-established businesses as well, will already have certain processes in place. And the, you know, the old adage of, you know, evolve or die. Now, it's not as extreme as that, but that does ring true to a certain extent. You know, we always say to people, automate where possible without negatively impacting customer and also employee experience. That covers, I guess, things across the board of hospitality in an industry which is historically quite time poor. Using tech to not only improve operational efficiencies, but also improve transparency, and particularly on tipping, it's just such an important aspect to the business. Making sure that your team are motivated, making sure that they're ready to turn up and put a good shift in, you know, put a smile on the face, provide great service for customers, and also work as a team to bring that whole service and that night, evening, lunchtime service together. So I think there's so many options out there, and there's so many great companies that we're working with, and also other companies that we're not involved with. We just know that there's a lot of talent and a lot of value that can be added through tech as a whole. But it's, if you drill down into it a little bit deeper, it's going into the data aspect, and how, if you look at, you know, we talk about employees, but at the end of the day, everyone's just an individual, right? And if they're used to having data at the fingertips at every other aspect of their life, why can they not have data at the fingertips and that real-time feedback on what is such an emotive topic like tips? You know, it's money, which is important to people. It's a variable earner, so they want to know where they stand with it. And it's, I mean, the old example I use when I'm speaking to people is trying to translate it into other aspects of life. So most people that probably listen to this have listened to Diary of a CEO podcast, and a chap called Rory Sutherland went on, I can't remember when it was 6 months ago, something like that. And he was talking about why Uber was so successful and what caused that meteoric rise. And it was actually down to the psychological fact that people want to see things, people want to know where they stand. And Uber was so successful and is successful because you can log into an app, you can order a taxi whenever you want, you can see exactly where that taxi is, you can see how far away it is, you can see it on a map. So even if you have to wait 10% longer, people are happier to do that rather than being the land of the unknown. And ordering a taxi isn't the same as getting tips, but there is some level of crossover there about individuals psychologically wanting to know where they stand and wanting the transparency and ultimately whether it's perceived control or control of their own earning potential. And, you know, the proof's in the pudding. You know, we've found that the feedback that we've got is outstanding. You know, it's helping to retain great talent. It's helping to boost motivation and engagement for team members, which ultimately is the lifeblood of the business that we're supporting. I have just rambled on and gone down a bit of a rabbit hole there, but it's you know, there's so much to talk about on tech and transparency.
Funnily enough, that was a piece of the podcast with Roy that stood out for me as well. It was a bit of a eye-opener moment, that. So people don't mind waiting for taxis. They just want to know where the taxi is.
Yes.
You know, can you remember when we were young and you'd phone a taxi company and you'd phone back five or six times saying, is he round the corner? Where is he?
Yeah. Yeah. They never were.
It was always lies, wasn't it? So can you just take sort of 60 seconds, maybe a bit long if you want to summarize for people, what do they have to use tech with the new incoming legislation?
They don't have to use tech. I think tech will 9 times out of 10 make their life easier, not just to help improve transparency for individuals, but to automate back-end business processes where historically there was some level of manual intervention needed. So there's obviously some clear guidelines and structures that businesses need to adhere to if they're not doing already. You know, things like having written policies, making sure that things are communicated correctly, making sure that the payout frequency is in line with the legislation, making sure that 100% of tips are passed on to the team members. But there's so much more opportunity for hospitality businesses to optimize things. You know, people saying, oh, we've done this way forever. You know, that might work for some people, but I think as businesses now are looking to develop in such a competitive landscape, you know, optimizing processes, making sure that you're getting the best talent possible within the business, you know, it's not necessarily that you need to, but most businesses that are thriving and succeeding are wanting to optimize where possible. So it's really around that.
Perfect. Love that. So, can you tell us about somebody who you've seen increase transparency or operate with a great deal of transparency, and it's really worked? You know, something tangible, a real tangible benefit to a business.
So we've just started working with a group, and they were passing 100% of the tips to all the employees. That was absolutely fine. They weren't doing anything untoward. We were having the conversation, like I've just said, with them about optimizing processes rather than solving a pain point as such. Now, there were some pain points. That main aspect was around the service and the way in which the management team and the leadership team wanted to use Tronc and tips to further enhance the motivation of the team members, to further increase their rate of retention for employees. And ultimately, by completely understanding and getting under the bonnet of that business, we've now implemented a way in which they have massively increased transparency for the individuals. So rather than just getting one line in payroll at the end of the month to say, this is what you've earned in Tronc, they're now having this enhanced service where they can log in at any one point in the month and see exactly how much they've earned, how much they've earned to date. They've got all the written policies. The leadership team can communicate via the platform. They can ask questions, they can raise queries. Again, it's going back to the open line of communication with peers and management. There's the correct documentation in there as well, which is another point that I talked about. And it's giving them that positive reinforcement on a day-to-day basis. If they should turn up and put in a hell of a shift over the weekend, they can log in and know exactly where they stand, and they can see, I've earned X amount over this weekend, I'm going to go even harder again this week. So it's really working towards improving that motivation through transparency. So transparency really is important, but it's ultimately a means to an end to get to a point where you've got a motivated team, you've got a well-run business, and so on and so forth, loads of other different aspects. So that the main takeaway really is creating a custom solution for a business that wanted to improve the motivation for the team members, and also in the back end, improve operational efficiencies as well.
Brilliant. Superb. Excellent. Some really good points there, mate. So we'll leave it there, so it's nice and bite-sized for people. Quick note to the listener, Mason's details will be in the show notes, so you can connect with him there. We'll put your website in there, Mason, and your LinkedIn bio as well, mate. Thank you so much for your time. It was really, really useful, mate. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.